On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about Palm Sunday and Holy Week with Bishop David Bonner, Father Michael Balish, and Father David Misbrenner. For more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo, visit catholicecho.org/podcast. And now, the host of the Catholic Echo podcast, Father Jim Korda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. With me again is Bishop David Bonner from the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much, Father Korda. It's great to be with you.
Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, and so let me wish you and the folks that are with us a happy Palm Sunday. It's certainly a beautiful day that we celebrate the beginning of this holiest week for us as Catholic Christians. Why is it important for us to remember and to celebrate our Lord's triumphal entry into the city where he was crucified?
Well, this marks the beginning of a solemn act by Jesus, that entrance into Jerusalem, and then, of course, the Last Supper, Good Friday, where he suffers and dies on the cross, and then this all is realized with triumphant joy with the good news of the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So this is a key piece because it's the beginning of the journey and one that I think we all need to remember and behold.
You know, I can't help but think of some past experiences of my Palm Sundays. And I remember back in 2010, I was in Vatican City. I was on sabbatical in Rome at the time. And Pope Emeritus Benedict was Pope, and he did the Palm Sunday celebration that day. It was one of the most beautiful, cloudless days that I remember in my 3 months in Rome around that time. And the procession was this long, wonderful procession carrying palm branches, and just the whole celebration of who we are gathered around the altar to celebrate this entrance, not only commemorating our Lord, but also our entrance into Holy Week. There are celebrations that happen during Holy Week that you're involved with, in particular as the diocesan bishop, and that is the Chrism Mass. Let's talk about that. We celebrate that this coming Tuesday in our diocesan church. Talk about Chrism Mass.
For 32 years, it was my honor to attend that Mass as a diocesan priest in my home diocese of Pittsburgh. It's a totally different experience looking out at those priests and standing there and praying with them as the bishop. It's such a humble honor. And it's, of course, a day in which we not only bless the oils and consecrate the chrism, but it's a day in which we really lift up the priesthood and celebrate the wonderful gift of priesthood and thank God for these men who have given their lives for the good of the church.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think sometimes we tend to shy away from giving our priests a round of applause and a pat on the back because of the wonderful work that they do. We know that we are in this world and society of fewer priests, fewer Catholics, whatever. But let's remember that it's the priests that celebrate the sacraments for us and with us. How important is priesthood not only in our lives personally, but in the life of the church?
Well, I think it was John Paul who said, you know, there really cannot be any church without priests, because there's no Eucharist without priests. We absolutely need priests to lead us in our prayer lives, to be shepherds, to lead, feed, and protect us. So it's important that we behold them and pray for them and affirm them. It's not always an easy job, and especially now, given the fact that almost all of our priests are engaged in what we call multiple parish ministry. They're stretched, they're pulled, they're pushed. And as their father, I always use this as an opportunity to express my love and my care for them, because they are integral to the life of this local church.
You know, you bring something up that I think is crucial for the folks that are with us to understand, and that is there are many priests that have multiple assignments, multiple parishes. So it is almost impossible for one priest to do multiple services, especially during Holy Week, to have three different Holy Thursday masses or several Good Friday. So it's important for them to share those sacraments and those celebrations with those entire worship sites where they gather. So we really want the folks that are with us to be as patient and as understanding as possible. As we embark on this Holy Week, how will you be celebrating the Triduum? And talk about the Triduum for us.
So for me, all of Holy Week is an extended retreat. It doesn't take us to a retreat house, but it takes us to the church, wherever our parish is. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it takes us to the Lord, where we can be one with Him in prayer. So the Triduum is always a sacred time. In fact, it's often referred to as the sacred Triduum. Those are really holy days. And mm-hmm. as a child, we knew they were holy because we didn't have to go to school. But we always went to church on those days. I think one of the beautiful things about Holy Thursday comes with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, the washing of the feet, but also just that time, that quiet time in which the churches are opened in the evening for private prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And there's a custom, and I did this frequently as a pastor and as a parish priest, the seven church walk, which sometimes is called the seven church bus ride, where mm-hmm. you go and visit seven different churches with a group of people. It's a very prayerful mm-hmm. experience, and I would highly encourage it. And then on Good Friday, of course, is a day of fast and abstinence. There's an emptiness, a stillness, a quiet mm-hmm. that takes place. And then Holy Saturday, in some of the ethnic parishes, and even in some that aren't ethnic, there is the blessing of the Easter baskets, which, if you've ever been a part of that, the church, just the scent in the church is just magnificent as people bring in their Easter baskets with the meats and the cheeses and what have you. And then, of course, the mother of all liturgies, the Easter Vigil, begins in darkness and has so much symbol and richness with the light and with the music, the water. It really is just a beautiful celebration.
I think in closing, what we'd like to also lift up are those who will be welcomed into the church at the Easter Vigil. We know that not only parishes in our diocese, but parishes throughout the world will be welcoming on the Easter Vigil those who have been through a process of the order of the Christian initiation of adults, where they have learned about the faith, they have embraced the faith. I believe they're loved into the church. Give a shout out to those new Catholics that we will be celebrating this coming Saturday.
We certainly welcome their presence and are excited that they are now going to be one of us. There's a lot of prayer and a lot of work that went into this, and of course, all of God's grace. It's a great moment for the church because we're being renewed, renewed in spirit.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in Northeast Ohio? That is more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions, as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
The Catholic Echo is the media arm of the Catholic Diocese of Youngstown, and it seeks to inform and entertain Catholics in our 6-county diocese by forging stronger connections to our parish communities and highlighting the many blessings of Catholic life in our region. If you have a story idea for the Catholic Echo magazine, podcast, or website, send an email to catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. We'd love to hear your ideas.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day. And and then you'll want to hear from those with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1 on Sundays at 6:30 a.m., or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
With me again is Father Michael Balish, who is the Director of Worship for the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome back to our show.
Good to be here.
You know, the last time you were with us, we spent some time talking about the Lenten season, how quickly those weeks have passed. Now we find ourselves on Palm Sunday and the beginning of what we in the Church call the holiest week of the Christian calendar, Holy Week. Let's start with Palm Sunday and what makes Palm Sunday so significant for us as Christians.
Well, just as Christ rode into Jerusalem triumphantly, Palm Sunday recommemorates that action, and we celebrate this festive day as a way of entering into Holy Week in the same way that Christ entered into Jerusalem.
You know, palms have lots of significance for us. Palms, obviously, as you had mentioned, recalling them throwing the palm branches at the feet of Jesus as he was passing, entering the holy city of Jerusalem. And then, of course, people make crosses and then bring them to cemeteries or hang them on holy pictures in their homes for the year. Why are these symbols for us as Christians important to have symbols?
Well, I think it helps us get in touch with the reality of our faith, which symbols of palms and the symbols we use in church of fire and water and bread and wine all help us to hang on to the basic tenets of our faith. The same, I think, with crucifixes in our homes and medals that we wear around our necks. It's just a way to be mindful of what we believe.
You know, it's interesting, as you were talking, one thing that comes to mind is that we are still in the Lenten season, obviously, even though we've started the beginning of Holy Week. When does Lent officially end?
Lent ends on Holy Thursday morning as we prepare for the Triduum of Holy Week. Technically probably ends on Wednesday, but the Chrism Mass is traditionally celebrated on Holy Thursday morning, and so that would be the ending of Lent.
One word that comes to mind when we're celebrating Easter especially and Holy Week is that these feasts are movable. They change. What is that all about?
Movable in regards to the calendar?
Correct.
In the ancient days, the sun and moon were the ways in which people told time. And also the position of the sun and moon is how they told time with the different seasons or so. And we still rely on the sun and moon to tell time. So Easter moves because it deals with the spring equinox. The way they calculate the Easter day is it's always the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And so it moves, but it basically stays within a six-week period of time from end of March to late April.
We do know that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week are significant because we hear certain stories from the life of Jesus. But then we get into a Holy Thursday, which really begins the Triduum. Explain that word, Triduum.
Triduum comes from the Latin root word that means 3 days. And I think what's important to keep in mind in our Catholic tradition is that the liturgy that we start on Holy Thursday continues for 3 days. It ends on the Easter Vigil on Saturday evening. It's interesting to note that, you know, when we begin Mass on Thursday night, we begin with the sign of the cross. And the next time that we say the Mass is ended, go in peace, is on Holy Saturday evening. It's a liturgy that is continuing for 3 days. And it's for that reason, because of the significance of this liturgy, being at the core of our faith, the life and death and resurrection of Christ,
that the church also suspends all other activities. So no funerals or weddings or any other things happening, because that liturgy is of prime importance.
And as we celebrate Holy Thursday, we know that there are certain events that we recall, for example, the washing of feet. We celebrate the Eucharist. We lift up priesthood. Why are those parts of Holy Thursday significant for us as Catholic Christians?
Well, the washing of the feet, I think it's important to be mindful that when we engage in that action at Mass, it is a remembrance of what Christ did. We're not reenacting what Christ did, but we're remembering that what Christ did. And the significance behind the washing of the feet was, as Christ said, that as I've washed your feet, you now go and do that for others. And so that whole gesture is really a reminder of the service that we need to have for other people, the care and compassion and the need for us to take care of one another through ministry and service. So that's a really significant gesture that we do, and I think it's a very powerful moment in the liturgy.
And of course, on Good Friday, we do not have Mass. We celebrate the Passion and Death of Jesus. So that's significant in and of itself.
Absolutely. And the main moment of that liturgy is the veneration of the cross. The cross has such a significant role in our faith and in our belief. And so it's on that day that we venerate that. And, you know, in doing so, we become mindful of the crosses that we bear in our own lives, the different pains and sufferings that we deal with, knowing that Christ suffered the ultimate reality. And so it's a way to maybe put in perspective what we're challenged with.
And of course, we'll talk about the culmination of the Triduum, and that is the Easter Vigil. What's so significant about the Easter Vigil?
It's the first Mass of Resurrection, first moment of proclaiming and celebrating that Christ has risen, that Christ has risen from the dead. And so it is the main event, if you will, of not only the Triduum, but the main event of our faith. And we celebrate that with certain high degree of celebration and festivities that then carries it through the rest of the Easter season. And every Sunday throughout the year is a renewal of what we do at the Easter Vigil. The other moment of the Easter Vigil is the welcoming of newly baptized people and people that express a desire to join the community. You know, whenever there's a new addition to the family, it's always a great time of joy and celebration. And that's what the church does at the Easter Vigil.
Father Michael Balish, thank you so much for enlightening us about Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and the Sacred Triduum. And God bless you in the work that you do for worship.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll hear from others with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM-FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1, or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. There you'll find recent stories about Catholic life in all six counties of the Diocese of Youngstown, plus recent videos, podcasts, and even national and global news. You'll find it all at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in northeastern Ohio? That's more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
Welcome back to our show. Joining me is Father David Missbrenner. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
First of all, happy Palm Sunday to you. Appreciate your presence on our show. And we're going to talk not just about Holy Week, but Holy Week in the Eastern tradition. Let's tell the folks that are with us the difference between the Roman and the Eastern before we start.
Besides the Roman Rite, there are 24 different rites in the Catholic Church, so 24. The ones around here in our area, mostly in Youngstown area, would be Ukrainian Rite, Ruthenian Rite, Maronite, but mostly here in our area, the Slavic cultures or the Slavic rites, the Ruthenian Rite and the Ukrainian Church as well, Ukrainians.
So basically, is it about language or is it about practice or both?
It's about both. Years ago, would have been mostly language. Ruthenian Church, their liturgies would have been in Slavonic, Hungarian, Croatian, the Ukrainian Church, also Slavonic, but now today in modern Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk now about Holy Week in particular. Palm Sunday is what we celebrate as Romans. Do the Eastern traditions also celebrate it?
Very much so, but in the Byzantine churches, or at least in the Ruthenian church and in the Ukrainian church, they call it Flowery Sunday or Flower Sunday. The reason being for that is because in those traditions, they did not have palm branches, especially in Slovakia and Ukraine back in the day. They use pussy willow branches during liturgy. And also, they can use now, though, they use palms. Now they intermingle the palms because we're able to get them a lot easier now with the shipping and everything. But also, the symbolic reason for the use of the pussy willow branches is that it's spring. The willow trees appear to be dead, but in the spring, the plant again shows signs of life. And so it's the usage of the pussy willow branches. Also a little bit of flowers, if it's springtime, to use flowers again with the spring season of things coming to life again.
Let's talk about the sacred Triduum now. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Do they refer to those days in the same way as we in the Roman Church?
Yes, but it would be a little different. In the Ukrainian tradition, I would go, for example, to St. Josephat Cathedral on Holy Thursday in the morning. We have the liturgy in the morning, and the bishop washes the feet of 12 priests. So the liturgy in the morning is that of the mystery of the Lord's Supper and the institution of the Eucharist, kind of like how it is also in the Roman tradition. But then in the vigil, we also commemorate Christ's agony in the garden. There are the 12 gospel readings in a special evening service on Holy Thursday. Good Friday is the great Vespers of the Entombment, which are very beautiful, especially in the Ruthenian and the Ukrainian traditions. They have, instead of the veneration of the cross, they have the veneration of the tomb, where we use what we call in Slavonic a plashchenitsa, and that is the burial shroud of Jesus. It has the dead Christ on it, and it is carried around the church usually 3 times in procession with hymn singing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then the faithful, they come into the church and they venerate the plashchenitsa on their knees, praying on their knees.
Let's talk about that shroud. You know, we are familiar in the church with the Shroud of Turin. Obviously, this is the same thing. And so this veneration of the shroud takes place within the liturgy of Good Friday.
Of Good Friday.
And for us as in the Roman Church, we celebrate the cross, the triumph of the cross. Mm-hmm. Let's go into the Easter Vigil, and I want to talk about two different words, and that's the use of divine and mystery. You know, we find those two words kind of almost interchangeable in the Eastern tradition. Mm-hmm. Why do they focus on those kind of words to celebrate the events that are taking place?
They refer to the sacraments especially. The sacraments are holy mysteries. Mm-hmm. And when we refer to the Mass, also it is referred to as a divine liturgy. And divine liturgy, again, because of that sense of awe and that sense of mystery. If you've never been to a Holy Saturday liturgy, it is one that is of great mystery. You're celebrating again the harrowing of Adam and Eve up out of hell, the sorrowful of those living, paralleled in the joy. Blessed bread, not consecrated hosts, are given to the faithful on Holy Saturday. This blessed bread, again, it's a mystery. It helps sustain the community as we await the resurrection. In the Eastern Church, there has never been a Holy Saturday liturgy as we celebrate the Easter Vigil in the Roman Church. The liturgy then will begin for Easter Sunday with the Resurrection Matins liturgy.
Let's talk a little bit about some of those food traditions. We're familiar with bringing Easter baskets to church on the Saturday before the Easter Vigil for blessing. Is that similar in the Eastern traditions?
It's very much similar. And what happens is that it takes place, the blessing of the Easter baskets, on Easter Sunday morning after the Easter liturgy. Now, in the Eastern Church, it's the same as the Slavic tradition, like Polish and Slovak, but now that has gone and become a tradition that anybody can have their Easter baskets blessed. The meat, the cheese, all the items that are placed in the Easter basket, the babka, the sweetened bread with raisins. The sweet bread represents the theotokos, the ham, the sausages, the butter shaped as a lamb. They all represent the new life, especially the Easter eggs. We cover our Easter baskets with an embroidered cloth, usually bearing the words, Christ is risen, because it's a great joy of the Easter celebration that whole 40 days of fasting is completed. So we have all those Easter foods that were people did not partake of during the Lenten fast. And so we celebrate that, especially the Easter egg, meaning new life and life-giving. And we celebrate that on Easter Sunday with the beautiful always during the Easter season. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death, by those in the tombs giving life.
Father David Missbrenner, thank you for your presence on our show today, especially for enlightening us with the Eastern tradition as opposed to what we celebrate in the Roman Church, but also for lifting up this very holiest week in the Christian calendar.
Thank you, and God bless you.
And for those who would like more information or to listen to this program, you can go to CatholicEcho.org.
The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.